Howdy, folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the long
to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I'm heading back to Dixie, that's where I long to be. Where the cotton grows and the Suwannee flows, that's home sweet home to me. Where they meet you and they greet you with a great big how you all. Well, shut my mouth, I'm a-heading south on the Dixie Cannonball. On the Dixie Cannonball, on the Dixie Cannonball. Just listen to the whistle, it'll thrill you one and all. And I know there's someone waiting with a great big how you all. Well, shut my mouth, I'm a-heading south on the Dixie Cannonball. On the Dixie Cannonball, on the Dixie Cannonball. Just listen to the whistle, it'll thrill you one and all. And I know there's someone waiting with a great big how you all. Well, shut my mouth, I'm a-heading south on the Dixie Cannonball.
Well, thanks a lot there, folks, and welcome once more to Melody Ranch. Say, Johnny, here's a song we've done several times, but I think it's one of the grand songs of all time, so how about trying it again? Give me a chord.
Anytime you're feeling alone, anytime you're feeling blue, anytime downhearted, that will prove your love for me is true. Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time I'll be thinking of you. So anytime you say you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you.
Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time.
Time I'll come back home to you.
Home to you.
Well, thank you, folks. Thank you very, very much. Many, many thanks. And now.
So you really call that thing you're entering in a livestock show a cow, do you, Johnny?
You're dead burn right, I call it a cow. Fact is, I got $5 more right here in my back pocket. That says it'll beat that mangy-looking heifer of yours 20 ways from Sunday.
Mangy-looking heifer of mine, is it? Did you ever hear of the Grand Canyon?
Well, of course I've heard of the Grand Canyon. What about it?
I took my cow up there the other day, stood her up way up on top there. You know what she said?
What?
She said, that's a pretty big bottle, but I'll fill it.
Just a minute. Now, that's enough, brother. I've heard everything.
You can say that again, Gene.
Yeah. I've heard everything, too. Listen, Buttram. Speaking of cows, did I hear you mention something a little while ago about terrorized milk?
Terrorized milk, yeah. I might have mentioned it in passing. Why?
In passing?
Yeah.
Look, pal, I've heard of homogenized milk. I've heard of pasteurized milk. But what in the world is terrierized milk?
That's milk from discontented cows that just didn't want to let go.
That's what kind of milk that is.
Listen, I've heard you drink milk too, brother. Yeah, Dairy Association was going to love us. I should have known better. I should have known something like this is going to happen.
You know what, Gene?
What?
That all reminds me of the time way back home when one of our cows fell down in the well.
Oh, no kidding. Well, what happened?
Well, nothing. You see, since we didn't know she was there and since she didn't make no sounds, we sort of figured that no moos was good moos.
I'm sorry, folks, but this boy lives by his wits, which may account for the half-starved look on his face.
Don't let him kid you, Johnny. If they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they still hope for you.
Yeah, and that's hope for you, too.
Thank both of you.
Well, I tell you, getting back now to this milking contest, have either one of you ever been in one of them before?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Artery, I ain't, but my cousin Gomer, he was in one once.
Oh, Gomer was in one.
Uh-huh.
How'd he make out?
Not so good, I'm afraid.
Oh, how come?
Well, when the judge come around, cousin Gomer, he had the cow's nose shoved down in the milk bucket, making her drink the milk. Yeah, you see, cousin Gomer, he claimed the first time he milked her, the milk looked kind of thin, so he was running it through again.
Foggy river flowing o'er a heart of stone. You left me stranded in this foggy river, drifting helpless and alone. Can't escape this broken heart of mine. There's no freedom anymore. Heaven help me on this foggy river. Help me find the distant shore. Always knew someday you'd let me down. I've got troubles on my mind. Yes, I'm doomed to sail this foggy river. I leave your love behind.
Thank you, friends and neighbors. Many, many thanks. And now, for this week's Western Story Classic, suppose we go back quite a few years to the time when I was pretty much of a freelance cowpoke, wandering around from one ranch to another, picking up work wherever I could find it. At any rate, when this particular yarn all begun, I'd just checked into a cheap hotel in the small, hot cattle town of Desert Springs.
That'll be $1 in advance, cowboy.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Say, by the way, you don't happen to know anybody around here looking for a good ranch hand, do you?
Tried checking with Red Watson?
Red Watson? Who's Red Watson?
Well, I'll tell you, stranger, in case you ain't heard, in this town, Red Watson owns practically everything,
including this hotel. Do I make myself clear?
Clear enough. Got any ideas on where I'd be most likely to catch up with this, Mr. Watson?
I tried the Desert Springs Bank, which, incidentally, he also owns.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
As I entered the bank, I walked over toward a sign marked manager. Two men were seated across a large desk from each other. One of them, a man about 50, I'd say, didn't look too happy. The other, a man about 35, just sat there and grinned.
Now, please, Mr. Nolan, if I can just have another 30 days, that's all I ask.
Sorry, gentry, but I'm afraid a week from today is the best I can do for you.
The best you can do. That's a laugh. You're freezing me out in Red Watson's orders, Nolan. He wants that place to buy, and you know it.
Mr. Watson's a stockholder in this bank, Mr. Gentry. As such, I have to protect his investment.
I'll bet you do. All right, Nolan, you win for now. But just let me tell you one thing. Before I'm through with Red Watson, he's going to know he had a fight on his hands.
Well, now, mister, something I can do for you?
No. No, forget it. I just changed my mind.
Son, what is it?
Mr. Gentry?
That's right.
I'm looking for a punching job.
Oh, that's so? Cattle or people?
Well, I'm not particular. Just so long as I get paid for it.
Good. What's your name?
Autry. Gene Autry.
Okay, Gene. You look honest, or I'll tell you what I'll do. The pay ain't much, but if you're willing to string along for a while, I'll promise to do better by you later on.
That's good enough for me. When do I start?
Just as soon as you answer one more question for me.
Shoot.
Do you know Red Watson?
Afraid not. Should I?
Not yet. But I've got a strong hunch you will before too long.
Well, just as I suspected, old man Gentry turned out to be a wonderful guy. In fact, I was kind of looking forward to helping him out of a jam that I knew he was in when I talked to him about Red Watson. Funny thing, too, my opportunity wasn't long in coming, because sure enough, late the next afternoon, just as I was leaving the bunkhouse with Mr. Gentry, Steve Nolan, Red Watson's number one boy at the bank, rolled up.
Oh, boy. Oh. Howdy, Mark.
What's on your mind, Nolan? That is, as if I didn't already know.
Oh, now, Mark, don't go getting all excited again. I just wanted to talk to you about that note of yours my bank's holding, that's all.
I thought we already had an understanding about that.
Yeah, we did, but since talking to you yesterday, the picture's changed a little, and, well...
Red Watson is now demanding immediate payment. Is that what you're trying to say?
If you don't have the money by Saturday, I'm afraid we'll have to take suitable action.
I thought so. Okay, if that's all you got to say, you can back tell Watson you carried out his orders.
Now, wait a minute.
You heard me. This place is still mine to Saturday, so get off the property.
All right, Gentry. But you're just making things tougher on yourself. See you Saturday. Get up.
Dirty, thieving bunch of crooks. That's what they are, all of them.
Look, Mr. Gentry, I know it's none of my business. But, well, isn't there something I can do to help?
Thanks anyway, Gene, but I doubt it. You see, I got $10,000 to raise by Saturday or else. And this is Tuesday.
How about the cattle you already have set for market? Shouldn't they bring that much?
Just about. Only trouble is I can't get them loaded that quick, much less make the drive to Star City.
Star City? Who do you sell to there?
The Gabe Lawford outfit.
No kidding.
Why? Know him?
I say I know him. I used to work for him as a stock buyer.
Yeah. Be that as it may, son, I'm still afraid there just ain't no way to help except by raising $10,000.
Okay, that's exactly what we're going to do.
What do you mean?
I'll explain while we're appraising your herd. Come on, let's saddle up. When I told Mark Gentry my plan, he went for it 100%. So early the next morning, I saddled up Champ and headed for Star City. And by 4 o'clock the same afternoon, I was talking to Gabe Lawford down at his office in the stockyards.
But, Gene, don't you understand? Even though I trust you with my last dime, business just ain't being done that way.
Now, look, forget about business just for a second. Listen to me.
Okay.
I've bought thousands of head of cattle for you.
So?
Did you ever lose a single nickel on my judgment?
You know darn well I didn't. But that still ain't the point. You're asking me to hand you $10,000 in cash for cattle to be delivered 30 days from now.
Okay, then tell you what I'll do. If I don't keep my end of the deal, I'll go back to work for you without any pay at all until the $10,000's paid off. In fact,
no, never mind. Hey, Joe, take over, will you? I'm going down the bank.
And so after closing the deal with Gabe Lawford, I spent the night in a hotel. That was Thursday. Shortly before noon on Friday, Champ and I headed back for the Diamond G. $10,000 in cash traveling with us. Anyway, when I arrived, it was late at night, so without bothering to tell anybody I was back, I hit the sack. Next morning, bright and early, I checked with old man Gentry. Needless to say, he couldn't wait for Nolan to show up. Nor did he have to.
Howdy, Mark.
Nolan, we've been expecting you. Come in.
Thanks.
I think you met Gene Autry the other day.
Yeah, that's right, I did. Look, Mark, I hate doing things like this.
Yeah, I understand. You're only carrying out somebody else's orders.
That's correct. In fact, right now, you might say I'm just making an official call according to law to request payment. You not being able to, comply, I then return to town, have the sheriff perform the unpleasant duty of evicting you.
I see. Yeah, well, Nolan, since this whole thing sounds like it's going to cause so many people so many heartaches, I think I ought to relieve as much of that unnecessary suffering as I possibly can.
What do you mean?
I'm ready to pay.
You know what?
You heard me. Gene, give him his money.
Be a pleasure.
What is this?
There you are, Mr. Nolan. $10,000 in cash.
Red Watson's not going to like this, gentlemen.
Then I suggest you tell Red Watson to lump it. In the meantime, just start marking this note paid in full.
Well, when Nolan walked out of the door with his $10,000 in his hand, he was madder than a Marine sergeant at boot camp. Anyway, I guess no more than an hour had passed when there was another knock at the front door. I thought it'd be Red Watson, but it wasn't.
Well, howdy, Sheriff.
Howdy, Mark.
I reckon you ain't seen Nolan yet this morning. He'd have saved you the trouble of riding out here. I paid him his money over an hour ago.
I've seen Nolan all right, but he didn't say anything.
What are you getting at?
Nolan's dead.
Twenty minutes later, there were six of us sitting at the sheriff's office. The sheriff, Mark Gentry, one of Red Watson's stooges, whose name turned out to be a slick Guy Adams, myself, a guy I'd heard a lot about but never seen, Red Watson, and one more. But I was saving him for later.
Okay, gentlemen. I suggest we try to get to the bottom of this thing just as quick as possible. Mark? Slick Adams here claims he saw you shoot Steve Nolan.
That's a lie, a dirty no-account lie.
Maybe. However, suppose we listen to what Slick has to say first. Then we'll hear your side of the story. Go ahead, Slick.
Okay, boss. Well, Sheriff, it was like this. I just happened to be on my way back from Higgins Bluff, you know, along the Eagle Mesa Trail, when all of a sudden I looked down below and right away recognized Nolan riding like crazy with Gentry here right behind him. Anyways, when Gentry gets about 50 yards behind him, I'd say he shoots. Nolan falls off his horse. I didn't wait to see what Gentry did after that because, well, I figured it was my duty to tell you what I'd seen just as soon as I could.
That's the biggest pack of lies I ever heard. You're trying to frame me, Red Watson, but you won't get away with it.
Oh, come now, Mark. If you're guilty, why not admit it? We all get mad and do things we're sorry for. However, I, for one, will do everything in my power to make the law go easy on you.
Mr. Watson's right. We all will, Mark.
You mind if I ask Mr. Watson the question, Sheriff?
Well, go ahead.
What reason do you figure Mark had for killing Nolan?
Well, not that it's any of your business, cowboy, but for your information, Nolan went to Gentry's ranch this morning and collected $10,000 in cash that he owed my bank.
Who told you Nolan collected the money?
I knew Nolan was to go to Gentry's ranch for the money this morning. I told him to.
Yeah, you also knew that Gentry didn't have the money to pay Nolan. In fact, you'd even made plans to have the sheriff evict him today. Right, Sheriff?
How should I know?
Because you were in on the whole deal.
Why, you...
No, don't reach for that gun, any of you.
Look here, Audrey.
Shut up.
Look, cowboy. I'll make it worth your while. How much do you want to keep your mouth shut?
Well, Audrey,
you'll get my answer by picking up the phone that's lying off the hook on your desk there, Sheriff.
Hey, what is this?
I'm afraid it's just what you think it is, Watson. There's a United States Marshal at the other end of the line who's heard every word you had to say.
A Marshal?
Keep him covered, Mark.
What? It'll be a pleasure. Gentlemen, keep your hands right where they are.
Hello, Tom. Did you hear everything? Good. Yeah. Yeah, sort of looks like the Grafton Desert Springs has run dry. Right. So long, Tom. See you around. Now, friends, here to many folks, the country over, is the song synonymous with everything that means the West. Many cowboys call it the most beautiful cowboy song ever written. And believe me, they're not alone in that opinion. So, if I can get a musical assist from the boys and girls, here is Billy Hill's immortal classic. Empty saddles in the old corral. Where do you ride tonight? Are you rounding up the doggies, the strays of long ago? Are you on the trail of buffalo? Empty saddles in the old corral. Where do you ride tonight? Are there rustlers on the border or a band of Navajo? Are you heading for the Alamo?
Sandy gun covered with rye.
Where do you talk tonight?
Sandy boots covered with dust.
Where do you walk tonight? Empty saddles in the old corral. My tears would be dry tonight if you'll only say I'm lonely as you carry my old house. Empty saddles in the old
good friends, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Melody Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right, back in the saddle again.